Cirrus Aircraft says it's full speed ahead for the SF-50. Again. Boeing says it's time for next generation pilot training. And despite some perceptions, NASA is looking to the future. This is Aero News for Thursday, April the 19th. I'm Glenn Moyer. In what was termed a major announcement, Cirrus Aircraft said Tuesday that the Cirrus Vision SF-50 personal jet program, with major investment by its new owner, China Aviation Industry General Aircraft, is fully funded through certification and initial production. The company anticipates first customer delivery will take place in 2015. Well, it's a story we've heard before, since the SF-50 was first publicly proposed way back in 2008 by then Cirrus founder Alan Klappmeyer, who has since, along with his vision, been ousted from the company. The announcement went on to say that this development will spur new hiring and a ramp-up in development at Cirrus, which is not surprising, since much of the original brain trust has been laid off, fired, terminated, or otherwise found other work, while a number of others are still looking for positions outside of Cirrus as recently as just the last few weeks. If the SF-50 is finally brought to fruition, it will face other obstacles, like the announced $1.96 million price tag, a figure that is nearly double the original cost projection, and competition from the likes of Eclipse Aerospace's 550 twin jets, available as early as next year, and Diamond Aircraft's D-Jets, which should be deliverable long before Cirrus can likely earn a type certificate, much less a production certificate. Boeing has called on the aviation industry to transform aviation training for the next generation of commercial airline pilots and maintenance technicians. At the World Aviation Training Symposium in Orlando, Florida, Tuesday, Mike Carriker, Boeing's test and evaluation chief pilot for new airplane development, said, quote, "In my 25-year flying career, spanning military and commercial aircraft, there has been little change in training, yet aircraft and teaching technologies have evolved exponentially. We must make use of modern technology and focus our training efforts on equipping pilots and technicians with the knowledge to make the right decisions for the best, most efficient global transportation system," end quote. Carriker called for reducing classroom training times and urged an industry transition from memorization-style training to competency-based training. He urged representatives of the aviation industry to leverage the capabilities of today's advanced airplane systems. In short, Carriker said, quote, "We need to make these changes today to reestablish the aviation industry as an attractive career option. We need to bring back the magic of flying," end quote. In its annual pilot and technician outlook, Boeing forecast a need for more than 1 million new pilots and technicians over the next 20 years. In remarks delivered as the Space Shuttle Discovery was being presented to the Smithsonian's Udvar-Hazy Center in Washington, NASA Deputy Administrator Lori Garver expressed optimism about the agency's future and chided those who have held that NASA's best days are behind it. Garver said, quote, "While it is wonderful to reminisce about the past, NASA continues to focus on the future. You need only admire the amazing space shuttles and their accomplishments to realize the people, organizations, and nation that created them have only just begun. Vehicles with names like Orion, Dragon, and Dream Chaser are being built all across the country today. They will continue and expand on the space shuttle's many accomplishments," end quote. Garver said the space shuttle's 30-year history literally changed the world, and that NASA is on course to more fully utilize the International Space Station and explore farther than ever before, to an asteroid and on to Mars. Even as Garver was making her remarks, NASA's Mars Program Planning Group has begun analyzing options for future robotic missions and enlisting the assistance of scientists and engineers worldwide. NASA is reformulating the Mars Exploration Program to be responsive to high-priority science goals and the President's challenge of sending humans to Mars in the 2030s. Starting Monday, the scientific and technical community across the globe can submit ideas and abstracts online as part of NASA's effort to seek out the best and the brightest ideas from researchers and engineers in planetary science. Selected abstracts will be presented during a workshop in June hosted by the Lunar and Planetary Institute in Houston. NASA does have a recognized track record of successful missions on Mars, and exploration of the planet is a priority for the agency. The rover Opportunity, which landed on Mars in 2004, is still operating well beyond its official mission of 90 days. There also are two NASA satellites, the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter and Mars Odyssey, orbiting Mars and returning unprecedented science data and images. In August, NASA will land the Mars Science Laboratory, Curiosity, on the planet's surface. This roving science laboratory will assess whether Mars was in the past or is at present an environment able to support life. Airlines for America, A4A, has affirmed its support for the FAA's decision to apply the recent final rule on crew member duty limits and rest only to scheduled passenger airline operations, and in so doing has voiced strong opposition to newly proposed legislation that would mandate the rule be applied to cargo pilots as well. The legislation was introduced this week by U.S. Representatives Chip Kravac, a Republican from Minnesota, and Tim Bishop, Democrat from New York. Kravac is a former cargo pilot. The bill directs the Secretary of Transportation to apply the rule relating to flight crew member duty and rest requirements to all cargo operations in the same manner as they apply to passenger operations. The bill has been supported by the ALPA and UPS. It currently has no companion bill in the U.S. Senate. Technam's latest offering, the P-2010, flew for the first time last Thursday, April 12th, and test pilot Marco Locatelli said that the airplane is very stable once in trim, while excellent visibility allows the pilot good references with the horizon, and that the Garmin PFD provides very good attitude and situational awareness. The airplane is powered by a Lycoming IO360 M1A engine, providing 180 horsepower and 2,700 RPM. The wing is based on the well-proven NACA-63A aerofoil. Through partial tapering, the design brings it close to the optimal lift distribution, the all-movable type stabilator horizontal tail, a trademark of all Technam airplanes, allows for excellent controllability and hands-off longitudinal stability. Locatelli went on to comment that the P-2010's behavior appears safe and predictable through the full flight envelope. The aircraft is designed as a primary trainer for flight schools. When Aero News continues, medical airlifts save lives. Pinnacle's reemergence from bankruptcy could be clouded by wrongful death lawsuits. And could the splashdown be a thing of the past?
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We continue now with Aero News for Thursday, the 19th. I'm Glenn Moyer. A study released Tuesday by the Journal of the American Medical Association shows that patients transported to Level 1 and 2 trauma centers by helicopters have improved odds of survival compared to transport by ground ambulances. While the raw numbers indicated that a higher percentage of those transported by helicopter died, the researchers took into account higher severity scores for those being flown to medical facilities, meaning usually only the most severe cases are airlifted. It found that a greater percentage of those transported by helicopter to Level 1 centers were discharged to rehabilitation centers as well as to intermediate medical facilities. The study also found that those transported by helicopter were less likely to leave Level 2 trauma centers against medical advice. The study concluded that patients who had suffered major trauma and were transported by helicopter to Level 1 and Level 2 trauma centers were more likely to survive after taking all of the factors into consideration. The journal said the study was undertaken because of the debate surrounding the medical helicopter industry, which the study called, quote, a limited and expensive resource, end quote. Several families of victims on Colgan Air Flight 3407 are pressing forward their claims despite parent company Pinnacle Airlines having filed for bankruptcy. The father of one of the passengers fatally injured in the crash has been placed on the creditors' committee as part of Pinnacle Airlines' bankruptcy proceedings. 23 wrongful death cases were put on hold when the company filed for Chapter 11 reorganization on April 1st. One attorney representing several of the families said that the bankruptcy filing means that those seeking damages in the cases yet to be decided will likely not receive what they might have before the filing. But Justin T. Green said that the pending cases, which could amount to tens of millions of dollars, could also make it more difficult for Pinnacle to emerge from bankruptcy. Pinnacle said in a statement that the lawsuits will be addressed in the course of the Chapter 11 proceedings. The airline is not allowed to reject the claims because of the filing. Jeppesen, a unit of Boeing Flight Services, has introduced a new mobile app, Jep Catalog, to simplify access to Jeppesen's aviation retail catalog content and enhance the purchasing process for customers. Featuring the same detailed information about Jeppesen's aviation products and services contained in the printed annual catalog version, the Jep Catalog app also includes video content and links to follow for expanded product information. Now even ordering from their online catalog is just a finger tap away on your iPad. With the forthcoming debate on the Hill about pilot fatigue and rest rules, this story has caught our eye. When is a planet not a planet? When it's perceived to be an oncoming jetliner. The planet Venus recently did a pretty fair imitation of a jetliner in flight, or so says one Air Canada pilot. The sleepy pilot had just awakened from a long nap and mistook the planet Venus for an oncoming aircraft, and then sent his airline diving toward the Atlantic to prevent an imaginary collision with another plane. This, according to an official investigatory report released on Monday by the Canadian Transportation Safety Board. 16 passengers and crew were hurt in the January 2011 incident when the first officer rammed the control stick forward to avoid a U.S. plane he wrongfully thought was headed straight for him. The incident occurred at night on board a Boeing 767, flying from Toronto to Zurich in Switzerland with 97 passengers and 8 crew. Ever since the days of Mercury, one of the chief differences in the U.S. and Russian manned space programs was the landing, with Americans splashing down from the ultimate high-dive platform, while the Russians returned to terra firma with a resounding thud. NASA successfully conducted a drop test of the Orion crew vehicle's entry, descent, and landing parachutes high above the Arizona desert Tuesday in preparation for the vehicle's orbital flight test, Exploration Flight Test 1, in 2014. A C-130 plane dropped a dart-shaped test vehicle with a simulated Orion parachute compartment from an altitude of 25,000 feet above the U.S. Army's Yuma Proving Grounds. Orion's drogue chutes were deployed at 20,000 feet, followed by the pilot parachutes, which then deployed the main landing parachutes. The test vehicle landed on the desert floor at a speed of almost 25 feet per second, well below the maximum design touchdown speed of the spacecraft. The next test will be performed this summer. Well, it's time for us to pull the ripcord on this edition of Aero News. On a personal note, this marks my one-month anniversary with ANN, and while I know the boss will be handing down his 30-day employee evaluation, I'm always anxious to know what you think. If you have a comment or a suggestion for these AeroCasts, remember, you can always drop an email to us at gmoyer@aero-news.net. That's G-M-O-Y-E-R at aero-news.net. For now, I am Glenn Moyer, and you're not. But you are cleared for departure.